After her workout, Esme remembered that she needed to make an appointment to meet Admiral Dossignol. Now, while she was working her way through the basic level training cubes, would be an ideal time. She contacted Commander Adderin's clerk, and an hour or so later, the message came back that the Admiral would see her at 1330. So, at 1315, she presented herself at the Admiral's office suite, where Commander Adderin happened to be delivering a pile of cubes.
How's Hull and architecture, Lieutenant?
Very interesting, sir. Major Patak has me taking some courses since I had no background.
Good. She's very thorough. Has she given you the ship test yet?
That came first, sir.
Ah, well, you must have passed or I'd have heard about it. Good for you. How are you getting along in the junior mess? Settling in all right?
Fine, sir.
This ship's so big, none of us can get to know everyone. Sometimes people coming in from smaller craft find that very unsettling. If you have any special interests, you might take a look at the recreational group roster. We encourage people to have acquaintances outside their own work sections, or even commands.
Well, sir, the Junior's Tactics discussion group did ask me to speak on the Xavier action.
Oh? Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind, but it's a start. When they showed some initiative in asking. Who was it?
Ensign Denton, sir.
I don't know Denton. But I'm sure they've all heard something about Xavier, and are curious to know more. I might drop in. Ah, the Admiral's ready.
Admiral Dossignol was a tall man with craggy features and big-knuckled hands that fiddled with things on his desk. Despite this, he seemed more relaxed than Captain Haken, and considerably more welcoming.
I've read the notations your board made in your file, Lieutenant Sweeza. And though I can understand their concern about your decisions, I do not share them. I have complete confidence in your loyalty to the Familius Regnant.
Thank you, sir.
No thanks necessary, Lieutenant. Although we need to smoke out the other traitors we surely have, Garavay and his cohorts cannot be all of them. We must have trust, or we have no cohesion. I understand you and Major Patak are getting on well. And Commander Ceviche?
I've only met him, sir.
I'm sure you heard this before, but I must say it's unusual to have a lieutenant assigned here without having gone through one of the advanced technical schools first. You may find it necessary to take some courses.
I've already signed up for one, sir.
Good. By your record, you're a quick learner. But heavy maintenance is a lifetime study.
The Admiral glanced back at his desk display.
I see you've had recent home planet leave. How did your family react to all the publicity?
They went overboard, sir.
I suppose you mean the medal.
Yes, sir.
But that was the government, not your family. You have a father, stepmother, half-brothers?
Yes, sir. Also aunts, uncles, cousins. It's a large clan, sir.
Do they approve of your joining us?
Not entirely, sir. Not at first. Now they do.
We have no other officers from your planet, you see. The last was some 30 years ago. I wondered why so few. Altiplano is, I understand, an agricultural world. We usually get quite a few recruits from Ag Worlds.
It's not the usual sort of Ag World, sir.
And why is that?
No free birthers.
All the other reasons came back to that. With population growth under control, there were no idle hands to ship off planet. Immigrants had to agree before they were accepted. If they already had reproduced, they had to agree to preemptive sterilization.
But your family, how many sibs do you have?
Two, sir, but they're my father's second wives, on her permits.
I see. And their attitude towards rejuvenation?
I know only my father's view and my uncle's. They express concern about the effect on population stability, although the competitive value of ever-increasing experience would have a positive effect.
So the senior military personnel on Altiplano have not been rejuved?
No, sir.
Did you sense any resentment of the Familius on that basis?
No, sir, none. Altiplano's an independent. The Admiral is no doubt aware that we have no sponsor with a seat in Council, and Council policy affects us only in as much as it affects commercial law.
There's been some unrest, especially since the revelation about that mess on Patchcock. There's now a strong political faction opposed to rejuvenation on the grounds that the rich old will exploit the poor unable to afford rejuvenation.
I don't think anyone on Altiplano feels exploited by the Familius, occasionally by each other.
I'm glad to hear it. I'll be seeing you from time to time. Officers of the 14th get together regularly. Commander Adderin will let you know the next event.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The first thing Esme did after coming back from her interview with the Admiral was pull a diagram of the various commands aboard the DSR. She had thought she understood how the chains of command ran, and who reported to whom about what, but several things the Admiral had said left her confused. A few hours later, she was only slightly less confused, but considerably entertained. With very few exceptions, and DSRs were the primary exception, fleet vessels had a simple command structure, with the captain at the top, and authority descending rank by rank through the officers to the enlisted personnel. An admiral aboard a flagship had no direct authority over the ship's crew. All orders had to flow through the regular captain. But the size of the newer DSRs had tempted Fleet to treat them as mobile bases. Rather than maintain separate technical schools and laboratory facilities at Sector HQ, staff had decided to put them aboard the Kosciuszko, which needed most of the equipment anyway. Thus, the Kosciuszko had multiple commands, each headed by an admiral, which were expected to use the same facilities, and even the same experts, for different purposes. If Fleet had wanted to create a venue for massive turf battles, it could have invented no better arrangement. Esme found the debris of such battles in the files. The Special Materials Fabrication Facility, for instance. It was supposed to serve the 14th Heavy Maintenance Yard by making all the materials needed to maintain an inventory of structural members. But it also served the senior technical schools, where students learned to make such materials, and the Special Materials Research Lab, where the most inventive materials scientists struggled to develop new materials with exotic properties. On the first deployment, a massive fight developed between the 14th Heavy Maintenance, which wanted a larger inventory of the crystal-bonded structural members for repair, and the other two commands, which insisted that they needed a guaranteed minimum access to the facility to fulfill their missions. That argument had risen through the various chains of command until the admirals involved were, as one report put it, locked in a room to fight it out until only one emerged victorious. The solution, a compromise reached with all admirals still alive and kicking vigorously, satisfied no one. But its inconvenience suggested that complaint would only make things worse. Even the traditional division between the ship's crew and its passengers had eroded. Though in theory, Captain Haken had the ultimate authority for the ship's security and functioning, his crew was outnumbered many times by the personnel of the 14th Heavy Maintenance Yard. When a previous yard commander wanted to run an outrigger tube between T3 and T4, between the lateral docking bays, he'd done so. Esme found the furious correspondence launched by the then-captain to the admiral then commanding the 14th Heavy Maintenance, and the directive from Sector HQ that the offending tube would be allowed to remain. The captain had been reassigned. No wonder the ship's architecture didn't match the computer specs, and everyone needed update cubes to keep track of the changes. Above the ship level, the chain of command looked more like a tree diagram. Captain Haken's superior was Admiral Garrosh, commander of this wave, whose superior was the Sector 14 Commandant, Admiral Foxworth. Admiral Dossignol, however, reported directly to the Sector Commandant. He was responsible for all maintenance functions in the sector. Admiral Lavati was Training Command's representative in this sector, and not under the Sector Commander at all. Fleet Headquarters had taken over all training functions 60 years before. Similarly, the Medical Command had its own separate chain, this time running back to Admiral Surgeon General Busey, back at Rockhouse. Her father would never have put up with this mess. On Altiplano, the Military Medical Service was firmly and formally subordinate to the Operational Command.
Yes, that's how he was able to conceal my trauma. No one was going to argue with a hero of a war.
That wasn't fair. She wasn't even sure it had been a military hospital. She wasn't going to think about it anyway. She put the displays away. She understood the command structure well enough now. She could start preparing for her presentation to the discussion group in 2 days.